Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, listen to this verse. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll just in a sweet way meet with us, dear God. We're getting ready, and we'll be especially, dear God, next Sunday, pretty much going to dedicate the Sunday, Lord. Lord willing, we're going to dedicate it, dear God, to kind of revealing and unfolding the full vision for 2015. But Lord, as we lay a little bit of groundwork here tonight, Lord, again, I pray that you'll help us and prepare us, Lord. And dear Lord, I told our folks that I would faithfully pray a prayer for each family in this church. And I mentioned that in my message this morning, and I do. I want for our folks for 2015 just to be, for many of them, just, Lord, an unusually blessed year and a good year, dear God, and a year of real victory, and, Lord, a chance to go forward, and a chance, dear God, to realize that every day they get up, there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope in God. And I want to continue to pray, dear Lord, that prayer, dear God. I pray, Lord, that as we look ahead for our church family, Lord, that you'll help us to have that same prayer for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord. We want, dear God, to serve you in such a way to be pleasing to you. We want, Lord, to be able to work and accomplish and see some things, dear God, with your blessing and help, please. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The last 2 years have been like this. The previous seven were not a problem as far as me coming up with a theme and having a theme and usually having a theme for our church a couple months ahead of time and having the preliminary work done and the banners ordered and the cards here. And I'll be honest with you, last year I struggled with it. One of the things I made a decision on when it comes to a yearly theme is, you know what, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to have a yearly theme. And I just made up my mind that I was never going to force something. If I was told by the Lord there was a specific thing that I felt like would help and encourage our church, then I'd do it. But if he didn't really hand deliver that to me, I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to worry about it. And so I really, again, thought this year that maybe we just would. I told our my wife, and kind of kidding, I said, I think our theme is you're doomed. You are doomed. That's our theme. Because where there is no vision, the people perish, and I have nothing, and so you're pretty much doomed. And but I thought that's not really good. I can't see that would be real encouraged to walk in every Sunday. You're doomed, you know, right there. Probably not the kind of thing that would create the atmosphere we want here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so I asked the Lord, and I really feel like that I've gotten the heart of God and the mind of God. And I think I kind of knew a month ago a little bit of maybe what the theme should be, but I honestly kept running away from it. I hate doing and using something that I feel like has been overused, and so I was kind of running away from this theme. But I will tell you that tonight what kind of convinced me and solidified it, where I had that kind of light bulb moment where I really knew the hand of God was in it, was I kept going back to the idea, and I was going to have the theme, I want that mountain, and out of Joshua chapter 14 and Caleb, you know, I changed it, and our theme for this year will be, give me this mountain. That's exactly what he said in Joshua 14:12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. And I'll probably preach on that theme next Sunday. I'm not going to preach on it tonight. I like this theme because, honestly, it's a prayer request. It's a prayer. I would love for Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 1,000 times, 10,000 times in 2016, I keep jumping ahead, don't I? 2015, I'm already working on things for 16, and I did them this week, and now I've got this mental block about what year it is, okay? I did tell you about the time that I called my wife and asked her how old I was. Did I tell you that? Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't tell that story because it's really a story that shouldn't be told, but yeah, sometimes I get a little mixed up. But 2015. I love this thought and this prayer. Give me this mountain. What a prayer to pray 1,000 times, 10,000 times, to have something very specific, something that's beyond your capabilities, something that's beyond what you can do in the power of your flesh, and say, Lord, I need you to give me this mountain. And this is what got me excited about the theme I decided that I didn't really want to use that overused statement that I ended up using. And so I thought, I'll just go look at all the mountain verses. And I knew that that's kind of the direction of the Lord. So, boy, I had a good time with this. I got on my computer and typed in the word mountain and hit search. And I just started and began to read every verse in the Bible where you find the word mountain, really just looking for maybe a potential different theme verse. And but something exciting began to happen as I'm going down through these verses. And I get about halfway through them, and I back all the way back up to Genesis and get a pad of paper and a pen out, because I begin to notice some of the most amazing things that happened in the Bible happened on a mountain. And brother, by the time I got done writing out these things that have happened on the mountain, I looked down and right in front of me was 12 mountains, 12 things that I said, you know what, we're going to climb 12 mountains this year. And this is it, Lord. And I've just got goosebumps. I mean, it's so neat when something like that happens. And, you know, this is the hand of God. God's in this, and this is what we're going to do. And so then that solidified it for me. I went back to Joshua and said, well, we need this. We need to ask what Joshua, what Caleb asked. We need to pray what he prayed. Give me this mountain. And so let me give you the 12, and I can't elaborate on them, but the 12 mountains that I'd like to climb. And I just want to take 1 month each and focus on a different mountain. And wherever you're at, when I get to one of the mountains, you may say, preacher, I'm already right on the top of it. I've planted my banner. I'm up here. I've climbed it. And I'm going to say, amen, stay up there and root the rest of us on. And I mean that. There may be mountains that we cover and spend a month on that's just going to reinforce what you're already doing and what the Lord has given you a certain amount of success in. But I think for a lot of us, you know, even mountains that we've conquered in the past, if we're not careful, we need to go back and put our banner once again on the top of that mountain, just reclaim it again and do that again. But the mountain of prayer, and this is out of the verse we read, and this is going to be January's mountain. What a great way to start the year. The mountain of prayer, give me this mountain, Lord, give me this mountain. And so we're going to start by preaching a message on prayer tonight. In February, the mountain of evangelism. Give me this mountain. You know what the Great Commission was given on? On a mountain. And of course, that'll be our missions emphasis month, which will be great. But also during the month of February, I'm going to take I usually preach on missions for the four Sunday nights of February. We have missionaries that come in every single Sunday morning. They'll have Sunday school Sunday morning, and then I preach on Sunday night. I usually preach on missions for messages. But what I want to do for the month of February is I want to take those four Sunday nights, and I want to teach a four-week soul-winning training for our church. You say, preacher, good night. I've sat under you, and in one capacity or another, you've taught this several different times. Hey, I'll tell you this. I need a refresher course on this. You need a refresher course on this. This will help you. And whether you are an experienced soul winner or you've never won a soul to Jesus Christ, hey, you know what? Let's look at that mountain and say, Lord, give me that mountain, okay? And then in March, we're going to talk about the mountain of faith. And what's exciting about this is faith, the Bible tells us, has the potential to move mountains. And we'll spend a month preaching on that. And we're going to step out on faith that month and do some things that I think will be extraordinary. The mountain of a supernatural encounter. I want that mountain. We're going to do that in April. And I promise you, I'm already so excited about this. You know what? There was a couple of different men in the Bible that went up into a mountain and had a supernatural encounter with God, and they were changed forever. And I'm not talking about salvation here. I'm talking about people already were saved. And I'm telling you this, every single one of us from time to time need to have a new vision, a new view, a new revelation of God in our life, a new supernatural encounter, fresh oil in our life. And so we're going to cover that in April. In May, we're going to look at this, the mountain of overcoming temptation. And we're going to take a whole month on that. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, that the devil took him up into a high mountain? And you know what, folks, listen to me. I don't know about you, but there's some things that in my life, there's some things probably in all of our lives where we can say, you know what, we can learn from the Bible how to win this thing of temptation. you know, we don't have to fold like a lawn chair every time the devil puts a little bit of pressure on us. And so once you understand the Bible principles of how to deal with temptation, once you understand the elements of temptation, how to deal with temptation, so we're going to settle in on that for the month of May. In the month of June, we're going to do the mountain of discipleship. And I love this teaching. We taught this years ago here. And that's when Jesus took the people up and had the Sermon on the Mount. And a lot of people don't read that very carefully. And as I taught previously, probably been eight, 9 years ago, I don't know. But if you'll look and read the Sermon on the Mount, this was not a sermon preached to the multitudes. This was a sermon or a series of teachings that was given to the disciples. The multitude was there. He calls his disciples up into a mountain, and he spends that time teaching them how they can go down with him and work with the multitude. You'll learn a lot in the month of June as we climb that mountain of discipleship. In July, I'm going to preach on the mountain of God's holy word. How about that? And I believe that God called Moses up into a mountain, handed him some tablets. And you know what? The beginning of the giving of the inspired words of God started on a mountaintop. We'll just have fun. We'll have fun with that in July. In August, the mountain of great victory. The mountain of great victory. Now that I put that on that month because of what's going to happen on Saturday, August 1st. The 2 mile run at the pastor's house. And so the mountain of great victory. If I can't have a great victory, I can at least preach about great victories. And again, watch this. You know what? Read the story of David and Goliath. And you know what you have? A Philistine that's standing on one mountain and the Israelites on the other mountain. And folks, again, you know what? I can help you with this. Most Christians have a Goliath that has your number. Most Christians have a Goliath that has your number. And you know what? It's a different giant for a different time in your life. You may have killed some giants, okay? But that doesn't mean that the devil's not going to send another one. You know what? There was 5 stones that was picked up that day. You know why? Because there was more than one giant. And before David got to the end of his life, those other 4 giants had to, you know what? He didn't have to deal with them that day, but he had to deal with them before he died. And I'm going to talk about how to take down the giant, whatever the giant of your life is. We'll spend a month on that. And then we're going to, in September, talk about the mountain of sacrifice, the mountain of sacrifice. I want that mountain. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're going to preach several messages probably out of the story of God asking Abraham to bring Isaac up to a mountain. And folks, boy, there's some concepts, there's some principles there that will help you in your Christian life. I believe that was the greatest test of Abraham's life. And Abraham had some great tests. I believe it was the greatest test of his life. I believe it factored into what God could and could not do with Abraham for the rest of his life. You know what? At some point, look right up here, I'll help you with this. At some point, God's going to ask for your Isaac. At some point, God's going to ask for your Isaac. And your willingness to sacrifice to God the thing that is hardest for you to sacrifice will have great bearing on whether or not God can long-term, what he can long-term do with you and through you while you're here on this earth. And so the mountain of sacrifice. In October, we're going to talk about the mountain of the local church. There was a mountain, and the name of the mountain was Bethel. And you know what the word Bethel means? The house of God. And so we're going to spend a month preaching on the importance of the local New Testament church. And then the mountain of supernatural peace. How many of you would like to have supernatural peace? Supernatural peace. It's available. It's available. And I want to take you to a mountain. There's a specific Old Testament mountain. I don't want to give it all away. There's a specific Old Testament mountain that if you'll climb with me and we get to the top together, you know what? You're going to find out the secret to having supernatural peace despite the craziness of this wicked world and the uncontrollable circumstances that sometimes we find ourselves in. You can still have, in the midst of the storm, you can have supernatural peace. And then December, what a great way to finish the year. Boy, one of the phrases you'll find over and over and over in the study of the subject of mountains is you'll find God talking about the mountain of his holiness. And we're going to talk about the mountain of holiness. I want that mountain. 7 or 12 mountains, 12 prayers. And that's what we'll spend the time doing as far as the preaching this year. And I've got more things, and we'll let you know more about them and spend next Sunday, Lord willing, unless we have maybe a half inch of snow. And then we might have to shut everything down and not have church. Amen. All right. Just prepping you, getting you ready. Come on now. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 23. Let's talk about this subject tonight. Let me preach on this subject, the impact of prayer. The impact of prayer. Matthew 14, verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. There are people here, and I want you to be honest with you. You don't have to share this with anyone else. Some things you need to share between you and God. Be honest with yourself and God about. But some of you are standing down at the base of the mountain of prayer, and you hear stories about people that have climbed this mountain. You hear miraculous stories about people who live on the top of that mountain. But the honest truth is, there's a few times in your life you may have tried to make a little bit of a trip up. You didn't get very far, and you came back down. It's time to conquer that mountain. It's time to conquer that mountain. And so I want to talk to you about the impact of prayer tonight, give you several things to think about. Say, preacher, why is it important that we pray? Because prayer has an impact. It makes an impact. Prayer matters. Prayer helps. Prayer changes things. And so, you preacher, when we talk about this matter of the impact of prayer, what are you talking about? Let me give you several things real quick. Here we go. Prayer impacts God. Prayer impacts God. I want you to get this, because I'm hearing some things about prayer and about God that I just don't agree with. I'll just flat tell you I don't agree with. People's got this almost Calvinistic idea that, you know what, we might as well not pray, because whatever God's decided to do, he's going to do, and you know what, it's all set in stone, and you can't change God's heart, change God's mind, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I can take you places in the Bible where God says that it repented of him. He changed his mind because somebody prayed. Now, I understand about the foreknowledge of God, but I think sometimes what we want to do is we want to take that doctrine of the foreknowledge of God, and if we're not careful, we use it like a sledgehammer to destroy doctrines that are equally supported by Scripture. Listen, if I didn't think that prayer could impact God, I wouldn't waste my time doing it. I'm just telling you, that's how Jerry Ross feels about it. Don't give me this idea, well, so, you know, we're just acting out parts on a play, and everything's predecided, and we can't change. Yeah, I don't believe that for women. I don't believe it. I believe God is impacted by prayer. Psalms 141:2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Think about that. And the lifting up of my hand as the evening sacrifice. See, I think God literally enjoys the prayers. And you know what? This incense is what they used to burn back in the old days. I'm talking about 1970s sticks that you're burning to hide your marijuana smoke. I'm not talking about that incense. Back in Old Testament days, incense was actually a pleasant thing. It would be something like some of you ladies that would have a candle, and you would open it in your house, and you buy these scented candles, and boy, people walk into your house, and it's just got this beautiful smell, and it's because of that incense, that candle that's been burning. And you know what, folks, I want you to get this. God enjoys our prayers. It impacts him. How does prayer impact God? It puts a smile on his face. You know what, folks, listen. Remember when you were a little kid, and I remember when I lived in Brazil, Indiana, the mailbox being across the road from us there, and of course the time I was hit by the car and all of that. But anyway, we'd have to cross the road there to get, and every once in a while we'd have the opportunity to go check the mail. And you know what, we'd kind of watch, and you know, everybody wanted to be the guy that went and got the mail, you know, so we're watching, and you know, every once in a while I'd get it, and I'd always stand out there, and I'd go through the things, and you know, the letters, just thinking to myself, you know, maybe somebody finally wrote me. Maybe Jerry Ross will get something in the mail, and it never did. Now, you know, and I was upset. Now, I wish all of them went to my kids or my grandkids, because mom and dad never seemed as excited about getting mail as I thought I would be when I got to be their age. But you know what, folks? Just the idea that somebody thought of you and somebody reached out to communicate to you, you know what, means something. It means something. Some of you, if you don't get at least one text during the day, you're depressed. I mean, nobody texts me today, therefore nobody loves me. And but could I just tell you this? Watch this. How does God feel? How does God feel? How about this verse? I'll give you more scriptural support here. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the, watch this, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Some of you have been maybe in during the holidays, you're waiting for a phone call. You know, you've got somebody that you love dearly and they're somewhere else. And you think sometime Christmas Eve or sometime Christmas Day, they're going to call. And boy, you've got to make sure you got your phone, the ringer on, you know, and you got it off vibrate. You don't want to miss this. And the phone rings and you go over and you look and it's who you wanted to hear from. And you know what? There's just something about, oh, good. Listen, I want you to take that feeling and realize that's how God feels every time you bow your head and say, dear Lord, dear Lord. He delights in it. Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God doesn't believe that there's anything such as too small of a prayer request, something that's not important, something, well, I don't want to bother God by this. God's not bothered by in everything by prayer and supplication. The fact that you would talk to him about it, the fact that you would want to run it by him, the fact that you'd want to communicate with him, such an important thing. See, prayer impacts God. One of the things I want to encourage you as a church about is as we minister, let's pray. And we're going to talk a lot about that this month. As you minister, let's pray. I learned this early. I did. I learned it as a Bible college student just working on the bus routes there in Chicago. I just learned. Somewhere along the path, I began to realize that on days when it just seems like the devil was fighting everything we were trying to do, and you know what? Regular kid, come on, bus workers. I don't care where your bus route is, it's the same. All your regulars not only aren't coming this Sunday, but they decided they hate you. And you try to sign up new kids and nobody wants to come. And I mean, you're out there and you've been out there for an hour or two and it's just like, Lord, nothing's going right. Now, wait a minute. I can remember the day that I stopped on the sidewalk and I mean, just discouraged. And I thought to myself, you know what? This isn't the way it's supposed to be. And you know what? I got to get God. And I looked around. There was an abandoned apartment building. And downstairs, there was broken glass. I still remember this. There was a stairs that went down. And there was broken glass all down in there. And a door that was all padlocked and boarded up. And I walked down that stairs to get off the street. And I kicked the glass away and made myself a spot. And got on my knees and began to cry out to God and say, God, you know what? Nothing I'm doing is working. Please, God, I need to see your hand. I need your help. Please, Lord, I'm going to take the next hour or so and I'm going to hit those doors and I'm not going to quit. But God, please, I don't want it to be like the last hour. Folks, listen, I believe that that kind of prayer, God just is waiting to hear. I crawl out of that glass and back up those steps and had the next 2 hours, two of the best hours of bus visitation I've ever had in my life. I just am convinced that God hears and answers prayer. I remember when we were over knocking on doors over here in Bloomfield, when we took the church over, and before Brother Clancy was even pastor, we was out there knocking on doors one day, and I asked a certain number of you to spend a certain number of hours over there just helping us get this thing going, and I'd go over there a certain number of hours every month and knock on doors and just try to dig out people, and I remember going up down a couple streets, and there again, I don't remember, I had somebody with me, I don't remember who it was, I'm sorry, but I had somebody visiting with me. And boy, just nobody's either home or nobody's interested. And it just seemed like there was almost a satanic oppression. I don't know how to explain. I don't want to try to sound spooky, but I believe in the invisible creation. And it's just as real as the visible creation. But sometimes you just know the devil's fighting every step and everything you're trying to do. And I remember looking at whoever I was with and I said, you know what, we're not doing anything here. And we stopped right there and knelt down right on the sidewalk and begin to pray and beseech God. 2 doors later, we got to lead a lady to Christ. Hey, it's not always that where you see that type of a miraculous thing, but I'm just saying I see it enough to believe that God still is impacted by prayer. Quickly, number two, prayer impacts your family. Prayer impacts your family. I don't know. We won't know till we get to eternity the impact of praying mothers. The impact of praying mothers. If you have a mom who prays for you, you have one of the greatest gifts that God could ever give anybody. And I was thinking about Jim Delaschmidt as I was preparing this message, and I love Brother Delaschmidt. I missed him. I miss him to this day. And boy, to this day, if you said, preacher, man, you've got an auditorium full of 200 lost teenagers, and you got one guy that's living or dead that you, Lord, would let you bring back and walk in and preach to those kids? Probably a name that a lot of people don't know, but I would say, give me Jim Delaschmidt, Lord. Let him come back from heaven and preach this one. And boy, you talk about an evangelist. You talk about somebody that just, and Jim Delaschmidt, many of you have heard me mentioning, his mom tried to raise him in church and by herself, and he rebelled at an early age and got away from God and got away from church and was unsaved and went out into the world. He's the man that started the St. Louis chapter of the Hell's Angels. I mean, this guy, you talk about living a horrific life, and I won't go into all his testimony, but I'm going to tell you this. He could get away from everything except mama's prayers. And part of his testimony is this. When he gives his salvation testimony is this. You know what? No matter where I went, and no matter how far I tried to get away from God, and no matter all the terrible things I did, and you know what? Every single night, my mom would go into my bedroom and kneel on by my bed and call my name out to heaven. And you know what? Eventually, he was miraculously saved, and to this day credits the prayers of his mother. Brother Johnny Pope went through a time of rebellion. He gives the illustration, tells the story. In his teenage years, went through a time of rebellion. And he got to the place where he was going out and doing things he shouldn't do and staying out late at night. And he would come home, and it used to aggravate him, irritate him, because he'd come and go into his room. And he'd walk into his room, try to sneak in, not wake up his mom. And he'd walk into the room, and there's a pair of his shoes laying in the middle of the floor. And he knew he didn't leave those shoes in the middle of the floor. And he knew what was going on. He'd kick those shoes over the corner, be mad. You know what? Every single night that her son was out of the will of God, she would walk into his room, take a pair of his shoes and make an altar out of them and pray, oh God, please don't let his feet walk where they shouldn't walk and don't let his hands do what they shouldn't do. And you know what? Now he's a preacher, a pastor down in Houston, Texas, and he credits the prayers of his mother. Prayer impacts your family. Daddy, you know what your kids need? A praying dad. A praying. You know what your wife needs? A praying husband. You know what? Wives, you know what your husband needs? A praying wife. And what your children need, they need a praying mama. Children, please listen to me. The responsibility doesn't end there in your family. You know what your mama needs? A praying child. You know what your daddy needs? A praying child. That's what they need. And so the impact that it has on your family. Number three, prayer impacts your church. There's a wonderful, if you want to just do a fun study, and there's a whole series we preached on this or taught on this years ago. But the prayer impacts your church. You do this little word study in the Bible, this little phrase in the epistles, in the letters that are written to churches. Just take this little phrase, one another. One another, and study it out. You know what, folks? If you will study those things out and list them, you will walk away understanding that you and I, we share a responsibility to each other as members of the same local assembly. And God gives about, 12, 13, 14 different responsibilities where the Bible says, can somebody tell me one of them? One another. You're supposed to do what to one another? Love one another. That's the most oft-repeated one. Bible talks about exhorting one another. Bible talks about admonishing one another. By the way, it talks about forgiving one another. It talks about being kind one to another. And there's a whole study of those things. And you know what? Again, maybe it's something we need to go back and teach again. But you can get in the Bible, and you know what? There's just not enough Sundays to cover everything, all right? And so get in there and find out what those responsibilities are and do them. And you know what? If you'll do them, it'll change the entire environment of any church members that'll just get in the Bible and say, what's my responsibilities to the other church members? I'm going to fulfill those responsibilities. And so, but one of those things that you'll dig out is this: confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And so I believe that prayer impacts the church in an amazing way. And that one of the best, preacher, what can I do for Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Pray, 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 pray. Wednesday prayer meetings are important here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Several years ago, we chose as our theme, and boy, God just bore witness on my heart about this. And I was probably 2 or 3 years into pastoring the church, and we had the year of prayer. And I tell folks to this day, probably of all of the things that we've ever done in 1 year's time that's impacted our church, nothing probably helped and blessed and changed Blessed Hope like that year of prayer. And I told our folks, we're not going to start any new ministries. we're just going to start prayer ministries that will be attached to every ministry we already have, and God begin to bless and grow those ministries just because we just added the element of prayer. And so we're going to restart and redo some of those things and go back to that year and reincorporate those things. And prayer impacts your church. The impact of prayer impacts your pastor. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, finally, brethren, pray for us. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us. Pray for us. Prayer impacts your pastor. Brother Nathan Walton's here this morning. He hung around afterwards. We got everybody out of the church. Me and him were standing back there talking, and I was playing around with Jackson and having a good time with him. And so Nathan says to Jackson, tell pastor what we do every night before we go to bed. Tell him what we do every night before we go to bed. And he's laying on the ground. I'm sitting in the pew, and he's laying underneath the pew with his head there looking at me, and his arms look like this. And I keep pulling him out of the pew, and then as I drop him, he just slides back underneath. And that's what we're doing. And so he's laying on there, and he's looking at his dad, you know, like, oh, I got to give the right answer. You know, so tell pastor what we do every night before we go to bed. He says, have a snack. So I just look at Nathan. That's good. No. Tell pastor what we do everything night before we go to bed. Eat. We eat the snack. No, that's not the only thing we do. What else do we do? And he said, brush our teeth after we eat. I'm like, how's this going? He's like, oh. He's like, tell pastor, what do we do after that? And I said, Jackson, let me help you here. I said, okay, you've had your snack, and you've had your drink, and you've brushed your teeth, and you're now in bed, and daddy comes in. What do you do? And what happens when daddy comes? He says, get a spanking. I swear, that's what he said. What he said, get a spanking. I'm like, dude, man, wow, what a life for a kid. At least you give him a snack before you beat him up. He's like, Jackson, I walk in and we do what? Remember, we pray. And he said, what do we pray for? And he kind of looks like, he says, family. And he said, oh, family. And he's like, and he says, the turkeys. He said, pray for, he did. I'm saying this word for word, turkeys. And then what else we pray for? Pastor. And so I'm like, well, great. It's families, turkey. It's like I made third place, I guess, you know. I got prayed for before the pet dog or the pet cat, you know. But turkeys are up there, and so. And he said this to me. He said, despite me trying to get this out of my son, him not cooperating, he said, every single night Jackson prays for you. And I don't know of a better thing that you could ask for any human being. What better thing can one person do for another than pray for them? And you want to have an impact on your pastor? Then pray for me. Number five, prayer impacts your nation. It impacts your nation. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And we are, one of the things we're going to do this month in our prayer month is update these cards that we gave you here about a year ago. And we do this once a year. And on one side, we have the main leaders of our federal government, from our president all on down, and our Indiana senators, U.S. senators, our Indiana U.S. representatives, members of the United States Supreme Court. Just a little card. I know it doesn't have every politician, but then on the other side, it's got our Indiana governor and lieutenant governor and senator and our local Indiana representatives and our Indiana Supreme Court members. And then right here in Jacksonville, which is our church's hometown, we have the mayor and the city council and chief of police. And I gave these to you, and we'll update them, and I want to give them to you again. I just believe we've got a responsibility. And folks, I mean this. I believe it with all my heart. You can say, well, preacher, you know, prayer does. Yes, I believe it has an impact on all of these things. I believe that there's people whose names on this card that I prayed for the last year that's not going to be on this card next year because, watch this, because of the prayers of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe that. There's some men that needed not to be on this card because they showed themselves unfaithful to their constituents and unfaithful to this book. And you know what? If you're going to do that, you need to go do something else with your life, but you shouldn't be in government making decisions for a nation. And I believe that. And I believe that there's people on here that should be where they're at. But you know what? They fight a spiritual battle every single day. January 6th, what is today? The 4th? Is that right? So Tuesday, January 6th, will be the first session of our legislatures up in the State House. And I do this every time during. Now, I don't go on the first day usually, and I don't do it for a reason, although there are a group of preachers and Christians that will go up there, and I appreciate them so much. But they go up there on the very first day of our the legislation meeting, and they have a time of prayer. And by the way, I was encouraged to read the email about that. I'm not going to be able to go Tuesday. I'm not going to go Tuesday. But our governor will be there at that prayer meeting and offering a prayer and asking God for wisdom. Our lieutenant governor will be at that meeting and will meet with those preachers and will offer a prayer and pray for God's help during this session. They said over one half of the members of both the House and the Senate in our Indiana State House have committed and promised to come and be at this prayer meeting. Folks, listen to me. You know what? Prayer matters. Prayer works. We need to pray. We've got a responsibility to pray. Prayer impacts our nation. Our last thought before we send John home is this. Listen, folks, prayer impacts you, the one who prays. Prayer impacts you. Philippians chapter 4, let your moderation be known in all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Look up here. You can't fake it, so don't try to. Nothing's worse. You can't fake real Christianity anyway. But I'll tell you this, there's just something about a Christian who prays that's unlike any other type of a Christian. I'm not talking about dabbles in prayer. I'm talking about they're a prayer warrior. There's just something about them. You can sense it in them. You can see it in them. It's kind of like, and I don't know, it's one of those intangible things. And again, nobody can fake these things. But I think it goes all the way back to the story. We're going to go up on that mountain with Moses. Come on, we're going to go up on that mountain before this year's out. And you know what? He's going to sequester himself in the presence of Almighty God for 40 days. 40 days. I want to do that one of these days. I do. I want to do that one of these days. Church, let me ask you this, just fill you out. If your preacher needed to do that, could I leave and be back in 40 days? Shake your head one way or another so I know. Could I do that? I think Israel was better for it. I think Israel was more blessed for it. I'm not saying I'll do it this year. I'm not saying I'll ever do it. But I'd kind of like to know that if God told me to do it, I wouldn't have to fuss and fight with members of Blessed Hope over it. You know, we want our pastor to be spiritual, and then honest truth is, I'll just tell you this, a lot of times we keep him so busy doing nonsense, he doesn't have time to spend much time with God. Let me vent for a minute, okay? You're waiting tables instead of giving yourself to prayer and study of God's word. I'm not sure every pastor in America does not need from time to time to get away for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and sequester themselves away and just have a supernatural encounter with God. And Moses did it, and he needed to do it because of the task that God had put before him. But when he came down from those 40 days of being in the presence of God, you know the story. I mean, his countenance, the Bible said, his very skin shone. And that way you'll know what I've been doing for 40 days. You'll know whether I just went fishing or whether I've really been praying, you know. I'm just telling you, there's a principle there. There's something about the countenance of somebody that prays. There's just something about them. I don't know. I can't describe it. But I know this. I know it when I see it. And there is. There's just something about it. Now, folks, listen to me. Watch this. Where you at? You stand at the base of this mountain and, preacher, I've been saved for 20 years or 30 years or 10 years or 5 years, and I've heard all these sermons on prayer and these answers to prayer, and I've sat down here and I've dabbled in it some. How about if you just pray this prayer with me? Lord, give me this mountain. I want to take the month of January, and I want to climb this mountain. I want to get to the top of it for the first time in my life, and I want to plant a flag, and I want to know what it is to stand on the summit of the mountain of prayer. And so I know of no better way. I know of no better way to start 2015 corporately as a church than climbing this mountain of prayer. Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunities that we'll have this year and all the things that we are going to have an opportunity to learn. Lord, thank you for the excitement you've put in my heart about the direction, dear God, as far as the preaching and the teaching. And Lord, I know that things will vary according to the leading of your Spirit, but I'm excited that you've allowed this preacher, dear God, have the liberty and, dear God, to know, Lord, just the knowledge that this is the will of God for our church for this year. And Lord, to be able as a church to climb some mountains together. Oh, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us. Lord, the weakest one can make it to the top. Lord, the frailest one can make it to the top. That Christian who's struggling the most, they can make it to the top, Lord. As we climb, Lord, may we not just climb. It's not a race who gets to the top. It's more of a matter of how can we get each other to the top? How can we help each other? So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, as we begin to teach and preach in this matter of prayer, dear Lord, I pray that you'll please just do a supernatural work. I'd like for children to climb this mountain. I'd like for teenagers to climb this mountain. Lord, I'd like for some young couples, young men, young ladies, just climb this mountain. Some senior saints, man, they've been to the mountaintop, but they need to climb it again. Lord, give them the strength. Help them to climb this mountain. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your example. You went alone. You sent the multitudes away. You sent your disciples away, and you went alone to a mountain to pray. Lord, may we be like you, dear God, when it comes to prayer. We pray these things in Jesus' name.